Living in an ideal mind goes contrary to life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Living in an ideal mind goes contrary to life. Well, you'd think so. You'd think so. Because the books that we read are not the books of successful, outstanding people telling only about their successful ways. We read about the struggles that they had and the troubles they had as they were trying to achieve their goals and they were trying to achieve who and what they were. And as we read about those things, we think that that's what life is really all about. And when we read books, we want to read adventure books. We want to read books of struggles and books of competition and books of... And if there's anything naughty to be said about a person, we want to read about that. We want to know about that. And that's why we read the newspapers and listen to television and news broadcasts and so forth. And whenever they want to say something bad about a person, and then later they say it wasn't true, it was not bad about the person, that was slander and that was other things. And yet we still believe it. Everything that we hear which is not harmonious with life is slander, and we should ignore it and release it from our minds and never let it in. Living in an ideal mind goes contrary to life only because we let it, only because we empower it, only because we allow these things to be given attention by our thought, given attention by our attitudes, given attention by our buying power, where we buy locks for our doors, we buy keys, we buy locks for our cars, we buy keys, we buy all sorts of burglar alarms, we buy all sorts of things. We read books, and we read books on all sorts of incidents and activities in the world that are negative. And then we fill our mind with that stuff. We fill our mind with that stuff. And that's what we think the ideal of life is, because that's what we fill our mind with. And so long as we fill our mind with those things, we're going to have those experiences, because we have in our world whatever it is we're thinking about. Whatever it is we're thinking about. And so if we're going to be thinking about a rough and tumble world where people are not very nice, then that's what we're going to be experiencing. But that's why it seems like it goes contrary to life. That's why it seems like living in an ideal mind goes contrary to life. We constantly say to ourselves that what is reality is the negativity, and what is wishful thinking is the positive of life. Let's turn that around. The reality is the positive in life. The reality is the goodness in life. The reality is the joy in life, and the peace in life, and the love in life. The reality of all, our ideal, is the goodness. The ideal is the peace. The ideal is the abundance. It's ideal for everyone to have sufficient money to accomplish all the things they want to accomplish. It's ideal for everyone to have the abundance that would make them happy. It's ideal for everyone to have the home that makes them happy. And many people have small homes, and they're filled with love, and they're the happiest home in the world. And some people have big homes, and they're filled with love. And that's wonderful, too. But whether it's a small home or a big home, if you don't have happiness there, you don't have anything worthwhile at all. And happiness is something that you put in there by your mental attitude. Happiness is something that you put in your heart by your own choice. When you go to your house, do you go with a smile on your face? Do you say, "Wow, I'll see my family"? You know, we have bachelors and spinsters and people who don't get married. And we think to ourselves, they should get married. They should get married. Why? Why? They may be perfectly happy living in their single status. Perfectly happy doing what they're doing. The world is made up of people who are married and people who are not married. And why should everyone have to be married? Or why should everybody not be married? Either way is by choice of the individual. Now, if you're living a happy life, as a friend recently told us, after he got married, he says, you know, I miss the solitude of my private life. I miss the time that I was alone. Well, that person didn't really want to have a family. He just wanted to have a wife, perhaps, or something. He just wanted to have a house, but he had a house and he had these things. But why did he have that attitude? He had that attitude because when he was a bachelor, he was able to do as he wished, come and go as he wished, and it was not the same when he had a family. When he had a family, he had a responsibility to the family to let them know how he's doing and how they're doing, and to be one with them, and to have a family. You see, we get all confused with living an ideal mind. Living an ideal mind. What does it mean? It does seem to go contrary to life, because in an ideal mind, we are happy. Well, I guess it falls back upon this concept. In an ideal mind, we think we are the ones who choose every experience we have. In an ideal mind, we are the ones who decide whether we shall come and go or what we shall do. In an ideal mind, it's always our choice. And in an ideal mind, it's rather good. And the minute you get married, then you have others to share with. You have your family to share with. You have your ideal circumstances. Is your ideal circumstances your family? But that doesn't mean you don't have time for your private thoughts. It just means that you now have expanded your area of interest. You expanded your area of sharing. And that's a beautiful thing. But it's not contrary to the ideal. Because the ideal family is one where each member of the family has quiet time. Where each member of the family feels welcome in his world. Where each member of the family feels, if this is my house, this is my world, this is my family, this is who I am. And for a father ever to say he disowns a child or a mother, whoever it may be, they can't do that, because that child is always a member of that family. The father or mother somehow went wrong in training the child and allowed the child to get away with things that needed to be balanced in their life to teach them discipline of self and to be aware, and then they blame the child and they say they want to disown him. We can never disown anything in life, because all of life is our creation. And if we create beautifully and create wonderfully and create powerfully and create joyously, we'll find that we are indeed living in our ideal mind, our ideal world. And it is not contrary to life. Life is but a reflection of the ideal that we are living. When you determine that you're going to live your ideal life right now, that you're going to be the ideal person that you are, you're going to be the ideal father, the ideal mother, the ideal parent, the ideal brother, the ideal sister, the ideal aunt and uncle and cousin, whomever you may be, the ideal employee, the ideal employer, the ideal worker, whatever you may be doing, be the ideal. And as you are the ideal, then rather than being contrary to life, that will be harmonious with life. And truly, that's what life is all about. Living, being yourself, and having fun. Living, delighting in everything in life, and finding that everything in life is good and very good now and always, and it's a wonderful thing. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.